Well, good evening again. This is Pastor Denny with 15 in Quarantine on Friday, May 8th. Good to be with you again, and a bit of a temperature change here in our area. Went from being a shorts and t-shirt type weather the other day to now making sure you got a jacket on. So, nothing new from Pennsylvania where I moved from, but I guess it's a similar all across that line. So, good to see you guys. Well, not see you guys, but I know many will tune in and had word of encouragement from someone today that tunes in and listens, and I'm glad the Lord is using me to help you out. He's helping me out as well as we go through this. So we are here at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, end of the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, and as we do, and just continue on for about another 30 seconds or a minute here till more tune in. Let's just go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you again for today. Again, we always thank you for your word and the surety that we have in it, that it truly is reliable, and you are faithful, and so is your word. So thank you again. Just allow you to mold and shape us more into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, good evening here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. My desk is a bit messy here, but that's the way it is. Alright, starting here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll read it in context here. We'll start in verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we are down here to verse 24, and I hope to finish tonight with this book. So, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Just a little side note as we progress on with this word faithful, because we're going to spend most of our time looking at this verse. But faithfulness. When we first ask you a question about the fruit of the Spirit, we have all heard of that. The fruit of the Spirit. But you notice that not once does the Word of God say the fruit of you that produces that love and joy and peace and so on. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit that produces in your life when you choose to walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith and not by sight. So when we get down here, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And if you think of the verses before, that talks about always rejoicing, evermore, nonstop, praying nonstop, in everything give thanks, quenching not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, being able to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Being able to abstain from evil. Nope. Being able to abstain from all appearance of evil. So not just evil, but even all the appearance of evil. And then the very God sanctify you wholly. And this is till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you keep that in context. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God is faithful, that the more you walk in the Spirit, the more you let him work in your life, he will accomplish all these things. You'll be able to do all these things. Imagine it. Imagine the very power of God working in your life when you choose to walk with him and love him. The walk in love, we've been looking at that Sunday mornings in Ephesians. But you will be able to rejoice at all times. You'll be able to pray at all times. Give thanks for everything. You'll be able to do all these things, even abstain from all appearance of evil. And that's part in context what he's talking about. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Because of his faithfulness, things happen. So we do and he does. So there's a two-part action here. Because we are told to do these things. We are told to walk in a love, walk in a Spirit. But we got to realize that it's not us that capitalizes on things. It's not us that brings about a fruit in our life. We think of verses here in Philippians chapter 2:13 says, For it is God that which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, that verse is used a lot. I can do all things through Christ. But that doesn't mean that, and I say this a lot, that doesn't mean that, oh, I want to see the top of Mount Everest, so I can do all things in Christ, so maybe tomorrow I'll get a plane ticket, head to Mount Everest, and start climbing. That's not what that verse means. That verse means in context, in these other cases here, when we read, faithful is he that calleth you, who will do it? That's saying the work of the ministry, what God has called you to do, everything he brings into your life. Maybe it's that one person, and only you can witness to. That trip to the store that he brings someone into your life. All those little things, clear to the things that you never even imagine are going to happen in your life because of the Lord. Those are the things that you will always have strength for. You will always be able to overcome hard times that come into your life, whether it's sickness or someone that comes into your life that causes a thorn in the flesh, or whatever the case may be. Those are the things that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are the things that faithful is he who calleth you who also will do it. So that's the faithfulness. So when we are faithful, walk by faith, not by sight, he can work in our life and he will accomplish things. When we walk in his spirit, we are never at a loss. We're never at a shortcoming. We're never found wanting. None of those things. We'll always have the tools necessary to be successful in life in terms of those things we look for. That peace of God, that comfort of God, so that God of peace, the God of all comfort, that God that says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When we walk in the Spirit, stay focused on him. It doesn't mean that you have to live perfectly in him, because we do. We fall short and whatnot. But as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord and keep pressing on, you will never be found wanting. Hard times come. You know he's there. He'll get you through it. And what a peace that is, even though we're not guaranteed a deliverance from certain physical ailments, but we can have a peace about it. So the fruit of the Spirit, again, is it the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of you? 1 Corinthians 3:5-8, but one of the verses is there, verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, and this is Paul talking, but God gave the increase. So Paul makes a point there that, yeah, he planted, he went out, sowed some seed or whatnot, but Apollos came over and he watered them, took care of them, but he gave all the credit to the Lord. He says, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. So that's important to keep in light of all these things. Of faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We are the ones that will plant and water, but God produces the fruit. There might be a big, big bush that's ready to bloom. I just got done doing some yard work past couple days, and one of the things I did was to trim out the dead branches or trim out certain things so more light can get into the bush once it has all of its leaves and things like that. It's kind of like that. You might be the one that sows a seed, or you might be the one of those ones that come on and along and give a word of encouragement to a believer, or the lost that had a seed planted and you water it some more. So whatever the case is, in the end, the Lord is the one that produces. He's the one that will take care of it. So even the times where we think we failed or didn't capitalize enough or didn't do enough, if you are in the Spirit, loving the Lord and giving it your all, don't worry about it. Then you can let it go, knowing it's in God's hands now. He's the one that will determine whether it comes up or not. We have a lot of farmers around here, and they do a lot of work for farming. But no matter how much they try, if that seed didn't want to sprout, it's not going to sprout. But God designed it that way. That when you nurture it and take care of it and do what's right, it'll bloom, you'll have a good harvest. Same thing with us. God has given us an awesome soil, a brand new life, a brand new place for even us personally to grow in. And the more we give over to the Spirit and give him free reign in our life, and the things that grow in our life, the fruit that he can produce will be great. I think of a firefighter example as well. No matter how talented that firefighter is, and they work hard, they train hard, but they can't show up on the scene and just snap their fingers and have the fire go out. They need that water. So the Christian life's the same thing. We are told to walk in the Lord. We are told to study. We are told to always strive and grow in this new life we have. And then God will produce the fruit. God will produce that goodness personally in your own life as that personal witness, but as well as everyone around you. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says, for not all the verses there, but God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Again, that doesn't, those verses in context, isn't saying, oh, you give cheerfully, God's going to turn your $50 into $100. God's going to turn this into a mansion. No. All he's saying is you give cheerfully, meaning you want to give to the Lord, whether it is your finances, your talents, whatever it is, your time. God guarantees that you will always have sufficiency in all things. You will always abound to every good work. And he tells us we are his workmanship. We are created unto good works. So the more of you give to him and cheerfully do it, whether it is money or whatever, then yeah, you will have sufficiency to perform every task that he puts before you. You might not know how it's going to come. Maybe it's a finance or a means to do something more for him, but he'll provide. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I bring that verse up too because God is faithful in your life. No matter what's going on, no matter our faults and our failures, we keep focused on him. He is always faithful. When he says that he'll work things together for good, he means it. You just need to keep loving him. Whenever he says that even when we do, whenever we don't believe, we believe not anymore. What's his word says? Yet he abideth faithful, and he cannot deny himself. So even if we think we lost our salvation, or we've sinned too much, we've fallen too far from grace, as they say it, no, doesn't happen. Because we might become unfaithful at times. We might say, Lord, nope, Lord, be quiet, I'm going this way. But he remains faithful. Doesn't mean he'll work everything together for good until you turn back to him, but you'll never be out of the grasp of his love. You'll never be out of that eternal security. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, another thing on faithfulness that we've already covered. In 3:11 it says, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as ye do toward you, and to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of saying the same thing. Those are powerful things. When Paul does prayers and those prayers in Ephesians, being able to be changed that much, to be able to even strive for that perfection, and Paul says, you know what? Do it. And you can actually be here on earth that complete, mature Christian in love. By just striving for him, and he will do a work, because he's faithful. When we just decide to do our part, he will always be there to do his part. He wants a vessel that can be used, and whenever he has a vessel that's willing to be used, he will use that vessel, and he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. So, same with Christians. We continue to walk and train ourselves. Then the Holy Spirit will have that unrestricted flow going through us. We're working in us as well as throughout everyone else's life around us. Verse 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. We just had National Day of Prayer yesterday, but Paul's constantly giving example prayers of how he prays for us. He's always saying, pray for me as well. So he says, pray for us. And we are to always be praying for each other, as we saw. Yeah, pray without ceasing. But praying for others all the time, being in the Lord all the time for others, does what? It draws us closer to those people we're praying for. We remember, like, if every day you lift someone up in prayer and you mention, hey, Lord, this is going on in Susie's life, and I hope it works out. Every time you do that over and over again, then you get to know Susie without even talking to her, because you constantly lift that person up or that family up or whoever it is up in prayer. You're more aware of them, and you want to know more about them. So then that moves you to call them up, say, hey, how's it going? I've been praying for you all week. Now I'm kind of anxious to know, how's it going? Are you all right? You check up on them. So brethren, pray for us. Just another reminder to prayer and a benefit of it. Verse 26, greet all brethren with a holy kiss. Now, granted, in our society, If people just started coming up and giving you a kiss on the cheek every time, most people would be like, nope, get away, don't want that. But at this time, and even I know some in my family, that's how they still greet people that they love. They get a little kiss on each side of the cheek. And I know other people in different societies around the world still do that. But we also see that Paul mentions that several times. Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Peter, and even Peter makes mention of it too, but he says a kiss of love. But Paul says a holy kiss many times. So it's not just this kiss of affection like society would do it. In our eyes, it would be kind of that handshake or a hug that we see here at church. But he also says a holy kiss. So whenever you approach that person, that you're approaching them more, I look at the word tender-heartedness, that you truly have an absolute love for that person. Meaning all the things that you hear Paul talk about, forgiving one another, not being angry, keeping that unity in the spirit. So when you approach that person, you shake their hand or you give them a hug, whatever that holy kiss is for wherever you're at, whatever that society is, maybe it is kisses on a cheek or whatnot, but it must be holy. It must have that sense in you that you say, you know what, I do have a love for that individual. I do care about them. That's why I shake their hand. That's why I hug them. That's why I give them that holy kiss and greet them and say goodbye to them. So never forget that as well. Luke, well, we won't turn there, don't have the time, but so it was a display of tenderheartedness, as I say. A love for a friend or a family, we should have the same. Even though it is not custom for us to give a kiss on the cheek, we do have handshakes, hugs, and whatnot. But always remember that this was a holy kiss and not a for show kiss. So whatever the affection, it must be out of true brotherly love, true love for your neighbor. 5:27 says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Again, another reason where Paul makes mention of a benefit of being together and coming together to study God's word, to worship God. And there is a strong sense of community because we're the body of Christ. We should be one in another, get together, worship together, hang out together. So a sense of community and coming together for God's word and worship. 5:28 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was truly that grace, that love, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies with God, we see it in Romans 5, that what? Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5, what? Christ became sin for us. That's amazing. That's grace. That for Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So referring back to, again to faithful is he that calleth you also will do it, but just that word faithful, Christ is the epitome of faithfulness. He stepped out of glory for you. While we were yet sinners, he died for you. So by simple faith and faith alone, in his finished work, his faithfulness, the faithfulness that took him to the cross, to die an innocent, that had shed his blood for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Simple faith in that, in his faithfulness, then he grants to us eternal life. And from that moment on, he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he starts a work in us, and he becomes the faithful one in our life. Never again will we ever be separated from that love or anything. So when you think of this faithfulness as closing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. In light of Mother's Day as well, you might be a mother, grandmother, soon to be mom, or even a mom that's been trying for years and maybe lost a baby, whatnot, to all women out there. You know, things happen in life, things go on. Sometimes you might think that you've been a worthless mother all your life. Sometimes you think you've done a good job. Sometimes you think that you're at a point of no return. Doesn't matter what you think. In Christ, if you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, you're his. You're in his grace. And he says a lot about you aren't that worthless person. Doesn't matter how much you screwed up. You just look to him. Stay focused on him. He will immediately begin to work all things together for good. He will immediately become your God of all comfort, your God of peace. All those things that you desperately want in life. And more importantly, I think of this verse here, Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear. So, as Mother's Day, I know it can be rough for many because of past things that you might have got hung up into or whatever the case might be. Remember, as a child of God, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's no need for that. No need for you to feel that you're under bondage, that you're worthless anymore, or any of those things that your flesh wants to tell you. But the word of God says, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You have literally been pulled out of the flesh, and now you're into the body of Christ. You're now a child of God. God the Father looks at you the same as he does his very own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you can now say this, that you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I've heard many people say it, but it's basically saying Father, Father over again, or like Daddy, Daddy. So when you approach God, it doesn't matter where you're at in life, you can say Dad, Father, Daddy, Abba, whatever the case may be in your life, and he'll be there. He is the God of all faithfulness, and that's what I want to finish with tonight, is remember the first verse we looked at. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And to focus on the word faithful. Friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there offering a free gift of salvation. He paid your sin debt in full completely already. You can't think that you've done too much, that you're unsavable. Doesn't matter. God says that he was in his very own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sin, trespasses and sins. What that means is, Christ paid for your sin. You're savable. All you got to do is say, Lord, I believe your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for me, shed his blood for me, for my sins, was buried and rose again. And the moment you believe wholeheartedly and let God know that, you're saved, you're sealed, you're forever his. You're forever able to say, Abba, Father. And you, as believers, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll forever be his child. Never again to be taken away, no matter what has gone on in your life and what will go on. So again, thank you for tuning in. I pray that God's word will uplift you if you're willing to allow him to work. It will. And just continue to look to the Lord and rest in him, and don't rest in the world. So till we meet again, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you again for your word and the trustworthiness of it, and especially your faithfulness. You are the epitome of faithfulness. Lord, your word you hold higher than your own name. So, Lord, we thank you so much that we do have your word, that we can see who you are, what you're all about, what you want in our life, and Lord, and especially all the blessings that we have in you, that positionally we're forever yours, we're holy in your sight. But, Lord, while we're here on earth, you have charged us to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit. And, Lord, not only when we do those things, you work in our life. We get to experience the God of peace, the God of all comfort, right now, this very moment. And also, the whole world gets to experience it, because we will reflect you to the rest of the world when we walk in the Spirit. So thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Till next time, thank you for tuning in, and God bless.